Welcome back to the Tip TV Finance Show. We're joined here by my co-host, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and by a very special guest, Paul Rodriguez from thinktrading.com. How are you today, Paul?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm waiting. I've turned into you.
Have you?
Unfortunately, I don't look like you yet, but I've actually turned into you that I'm poised and waiting for the S&P to collapse.
Right.
So
it'll happen now.
Like a broken clock, I'm going to be right once in my life.
You see, I've been saying it when it doesn't happen. But now
that we're both aligned,
what do you think
in this madness?
Do you think Sterling would go up? Because I called that wrong last time.
No. Well, I don't listen to you on Sterling, but I think that it's going to. It's only on the stock market, but it's on the S&P.
Yeah.
It's right on the line.
Well, I think it is.
21.50. We've had the RSI leading indicator on the downside. It's just literally three failures at the 50 level, the neutral level, which is one of my favorite indicators. I just think it's going straight to the 200-day moving average at 2050 or there or thereabouts, just in the way that gold went down.
Yeah.
Gold could be a leading indicator on this.
Wouldn't disagree.
Gold.
Yeah.
How would you like the stock market?
Well, I've
in a way.
I've always thought
this yield thing, but yeah.
The thing with gold is you've got to understand why you're holding it. I mean, if you're in Greece and you're a pensioner and you're rioting and somebody gives you gold, what can you do with it? You need money. You don't need necessarily gold. Gold is only has its value for what you can turn it into. So it depends on your position and your situation as to why you might want to hold it. And if you think inflation is coming, there's no sign of inflation. So if it's a hedge against a collapse in the banking system, people will still want cash. So I've never really bought that argument that you buy gold because of a collapse in the banking system or because things are bad. Gold will fluctuate in value based upon, you know, people's desire to buy. I know it's not really a straight answers to why it's going up or down, but I don't buy the it's a Armageddon hedge, because, you know, people need cash in a crisis. If you look back at the Iceland model, people needed cash, and so therefore
you can't liquidate that investment very easily.
You can only liquidate it to somebody else who's going to give you cash.
And you get a bad price as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad price.
Exactly.
And it's $12.50, they give you $11.50.
Yeah. So it's not. I don't believe it's a buy for that reason, and I know a lot of people have that as their single purpose for buying it. So it going down with a crash in the S&P would be totally consistent. But I think it's worth pointing out this move in sterling, because obviously I have been bullish on sterling, and I have got this, you know, this wrong in the short term, but I still do think that it will turn around, and I have a more strategic than short-term view on it. But, you know, for people who are blaming Brexit, which Brexit's going to be blamed for everything, I think there's a few points you need to make, and one of them is that in a wholesale collapse of a country's assets, you have the bonds going down, the stocks going down, and the currency going down. So at the moment, consistent with the way we've discussed it, the market is moving inversely, the stock market is moving inversely to the currency. And so therefore, I don't see this as a wholesale collapse in the UK because of Brexit.
You can easily rationalise that, certainly FTSE 100, can't you? Because, I mean, you say, well, over 70% of earnings on FTSE 100 are booked overseas. So, you know, on a direct EPS basis, never mind what's going on balance sheets, but on earnings, on the P&L, it's earnings positive. And we saw upward revisions, 5-7% by most analysts on the FTSE 100 when the initial fall at the end of June on sterling. So really what I'm looking for is really signs of stress in the bond market, because you're just going, well, hang on a second, why are we buying these sterling assets? And gilts are an outright sterling asset. There's no implicit hedge there at all. You've got direct exposure to the UK sovereign, but you have been, until relatively recently, seeing gilts rally in line with the world bonds. Now, okay, bond yields have gone up over recent sessions, but they have everywhere else.
Yeah.
So for me, what I'm kind of looking for is a point when the market is clearly starting to factor in a risk premium in gilts.
Yes,
I agree. You're seeing the spread starting to blow out, and that might be the indicator, the leading indicator for the FTSE 100 to then start show signs of stress, where actually, well, weaker sterling no longer translates into gains on FTSE 100. It actually starts to go, well, this is going horribly wrong. We're in a downward spiral now.
I think it'd be like 2008 when everything went together. I think the bond markets will go together with the equity markets. You know, this move in the FTSE, despite its strong move, hasn't taken it into new highs. And if sterling turns around, which I think it will do, you'll just see the FTSE come off. But for the moment, while we're in this holding pattern, what I've been doing is just looking at individual markets for opportunities while keeping an eye on the macro technical view. So we've got a few charts for you, bullish and bearish, just to show up how you play both sides of the market. This is BT, and as you can see, very nice head and shoulders reversal forming in the big picture. We're sitting in the right shoulder. If it's going to keep the same time frame as the left shoulder, then we could be in for a range for a while. But I'd be looking at this short-term triangle and a break below £3 as sorry, hang on, that's what's that level there? That's 360. Yeah, that 360 neckline, which has perfectly held the market on every decline. Breakthrough there opens up the downside.
Well, I'd just like to say that the relationship between BT and Ofcom is a total joke. I mean, that Openreach is an absolute fiasco. They should both be... Ofcom should be ashamed of itself.
Well, I try not to look at things like that. It would just make my blood boil. So,
I think the whole thing is laughable. But anyway, let's go on.
That's why I look at charts. It doesn't...
Well, it's laughable if you look at the chart. Right. Situation here on... you're looking for a break to the downside, capital.
Break to the downside, yes. Symmetrical triangle, capital and counties, looking at property markets. This is Earls Court area, which I noticed from a recent report, the value of properties in Earls Court had gone down quite a lot compared to the rest of London. And fragmentation of the property market is a sign that it's overheated and you will see further declines. We have seen some areas moving up and some areas moving down, but broadly speaking, this situation, looking from a technical point of view, is not very good for the market as a whole. So I think further downside in this and further downside in the property market broadly.
Right, so... the most difficult thing to call, because I mean nobody really. Most people, if you go around, you know, door-to-door survey, they'll say, "Well, I'll never sell my property. It's just always going to go up. It's my pension. It's my life. It's my love. It's everything."
Pavlovian response, isn't it? It's just an asset. They said that about gold when it was going up a few years ago. You know, I'm going to store it and hold it. It always goes up.
But nobody's ever got property wrong. No retail person, no person in the street. I mean, people who speculators have. But
in our lifetime, we haven't. No one's seen negative interest rates in our lifetime until it happens, and that's why everything happens eventually. So no asset class, no matter how. Like a few years ago, somebody said to me, actually, at the beginning of my career in the city, always buy insurance, always buy banks, always buy supermarkets, because you always need to eat, you always need to insure yourself.
Wrong.
And you always need banking. And there you go. And look at what happened to the banks. So you can never say never with any asset class. And so that's why there's no sort of gilt edge to it at all.
I'm thinking of buying a property in central London just to sabotage the whole market, because if I go in, after not being in there for 10 years, I think that would bring everything down. It'd be a price worth paying, I think.
Well, the point is, maybe it will continue up. I mean, it's overvalued in the short term. How big the correction is there to be seen. But what we're seeing in the charts, and especially, I like the countrywide chart because it showed a consistent decline, and that's a more sort of UK-based, you know, indicator of the property market. This countrywide share price, post-Brexit is still in a downward trend. And we talked about this on the show a good while ago, over a year ago, I think, and still in a downward trend. And what does that tell us about the property market?
And
it also tells us it's got nothing to do with Brexit either. It's just going down because it's been in a downward trend. It's been overvalued. Now, this is a little bullish setup. I like the double bottom that's been formed in Cobham. It's coming out of a very sharp decline, so one has to be very careful. You play the breakout through, I think it's about 180. It's got to close over that level for a short-term rally. So I think that's looking interesting on the downs, on the upside, breaking through, you know, this recent resistance.
Okay.
And 888 holdings in a symmetrical triangle. It's broken out through key resistance. You've got your floor there around, where is that now?
187.
187 is the floor. So that's your parachute level. You've got to get out below there. But otherwise, break to the upside. That's still in a good upward trend.
Okay.
Will you gamble on 888?
All right. And finally, my favourite.
Yeah. Now, I like this because as it was going up near that high, everyone was talking about a move higher and getting very excited. And even myself, I have to say, I thought, that does look like quite a bullish breakout. But we held firm on the bearish call, and it's gone into something else. Now, this is looking like a double top's forming. So that support level I've got at 21.20, if it breaks that, that opens up the downside. And the way the market's trading at the moment is completely crazy. I mean, you've got huge upward moves coming off again today. You've got the DAX index hitting resistance levels coming off. It feels like a crash is coming to me. It feels very sort of like
shaking out the shorts ahead of a move to the downside.
Exactly, you know, exactly what you'd expect to happen. A big squeeze to the upside, everyone covers their positions, and then it wobbles for a bit, and then bang, down it goes. So I'm sort of on alert like you are, and it's very interesting you said that at the top of the show.
18,100 on the dial, just literally of sitting there, I was just afraid to press the button.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's definitely worth keeping your eyes open for a big move to the downside that could catch people out. Obviously, it might not happen. We've got to play the other side. If it does break out to the upside, I would look for a break of that resistance line as a sign that, okay, it's not going to happen. But I'm on alert like your good self.
Okay, well, on that note, Paul Rodriguez from thinktrading.com, thanks very much for coming today.
My pleasure.
We'll be back after the break.